Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are here and there is only one, and it's you, God. Lord, there's oftentimes when we gather here that there's a lot going on, but Lord, we want to focus our minds and our hearts on you this morning. Lord, in all that's going on in the world today, the things that are happening in Korea, the things that are happening in Syria today, Lord, the things that are going on globally, the things that are going on in this city, and the things that are going on in our homes, Lord, we just need you. And I pray, Lord, that we would experience you, especially in this holiday season, Lord, that oftentimes we can get lost into office parties or ugly sweater parties or buying gifts or doing this or that. But Lord, I pray that we would understand that you truly are the reason for this season. Lord, as we gather around your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would open our ears and our hearts. Lord, I want to get out of your way this morning. I'm nobody, Father, to stand in front of your people except that you would fill me today and that you would use me today, and that, Lord, you would have your way today, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word and all that you're doing, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are moving forward in this incredible book of James, and this morning we are in chapter 4 and verses 13 through 17. And I'm not sure in putting the message together, I was like, it may not be too long. And everybody is like, oh, you look grateful already. But we'll see how we go. So that was a joke, a bad joke. But I was trying to break the crowd here a little bit. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, he is writing. And before I read it, it's really amazing how the flow of this letter can be very choppy sometimes, and also in a way that he circles back and he comes back to an idea or a thought that he used prior to when he's saying it. And I feel like these verses can be what may seemingly be a little out there, but then when we understand the flow of this whole letter, and last week we talked about the warning that he had of against worldliness and so forth, he then moves into what we're going to talk about, the plans, pride, and God in these verses. So let me read it, and we'll see where we go. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are just a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. It seems a little, not out of context, but like, James, what are you talking about? These verses come after the thought, as I said before, that we were in to guard against. Guard against worldliness, we talked about last week, and to really be very understanding of the culture we live in, what's going on internally in our lives, and all that he opened up last week. And then he goes into verse 11, don't speak evil against one another, all these things. And then he talks about timing and planning, and then talks about pride even, and then where does God fit in all these things. You know, we're human beings, aren't we? Nobody's a cyborg here, right? A robot. We have feelings, emotions. aspirations. We have things that we want to do, whether in our career, education. We want to see our life. People will ask, where do you want to be in 10 years, right? Is a very common thought, a common thread. We manage our money, or hopefully we manage our time. We are built in a way, especially in the city I think that we live in as well, that is all about striving forward and getting better and obtaining more. We live in a very capitalistic mindset, right, where there's never enough, right? Whether it's in the church or outside of the church, that we're always striving and moving forward and planning and prodding and doing. And James is dealing with this issue. And one of the things that is so incredible about all that he is saying is, again, understanding in a very practical way that God's in charge. And in these verses, to just lay it out before us, that is going to be the repetitive theme: God is in charge. God is in charge. God is in charge. God is in charge. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is in charge. God is in charge. But he begins with verse 13, and he says, come now. And one of the commentaries I was reading was saying that in our common day language, it would be like, do you get it? Do you really understand what he's saying and trying to invoke this thing today or tomorrow? We'll spend a year there or here. We'll go to that city. We'll go do this. We'll go do that. We'll make a profit. We'll start a business. Everything is very linear in how James is writing this out. But the thing that he's dealing with is how we have this very humanistic, nothing wrong with it, but we always try to plan and prod and schedule and do everything as neat and tidy as we can because we have a goal, we have a place we want to get to. And James is dealing with the specificity of our plans, and one commentator that I was reading as well is that he is making note that we are not in control. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not in control. Maybe husbands and wives were. Anywho, we'll move fast on this point. We are not in control. Even though this is part of life, this is the routine that we're on, that if we want to get somewhere, we got to know how to get there, right? If you want to go to Virginia, you know you got to get in the car, you got to put gas in the tank. You know, remember these things called maps that were actually on paper? Do you remember those? Yeah, thank you, Mom. That you would actually highlight, you know, the highway you would go to. Or what was it called that you would print those out? MapQuest, right? We always MapQuested because we want to know how to get where we're going. Nothing wrong with it. But the problem that James brings in here is this whole ideology or thinking that we are in control and that we are sovereign and that we are going to get to where we want to go. And in all reality, would you ever think for a moment that you'd be sitting in this school, in this building, today, right here, right now, even married to the person with the kids at... Some things you just can't make up, right? And you look back on your life and you think, how in the world did I even get here? Now, for my life, for example, I was born and raised in Minnesota, right? Hey, holla. And Gene and I, we go way back. And so I would have never thought that God would bring me here to New York City. I was here in New York when I was a junior in high school. My cousins came here, and I loved the city, still do. I still love New York. I still am a tourist. I still look for New York City clothes, and I'm still a tourist. Okay, shame on me, but I still do. And so I said when I was a junior in high school, one day I'm going to live here. That's how much I fell in love with the city. Well, God has a way of listening to our conversations, doesn't he? not always a prayer. It's a conversation we can have with somebody. And so many, many years later, I was a driver for an evangelist from Tennessee. So I had moved from Minneapolis to Phoenix, Arizona. After high school, I just worked and did whatever. I learned about this guy who was leading a team to Israel. I thought, man, I want to go to Israel. Put the trip on my Discover card, and I went to Israel. I met him, and he said, well, why don't you come and work for me? I moved from Arizona to Tennessee and became his driver. I would drive 12, 15 hours a day for him to get him from one church meeting to the next. Sold his books and these things. I don't know if you ever heard of these cassette tapes. Have you ever heard of cassette? I'm really dating myself. So then I'd sell these books and tapes for him. Drove all through North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, everywhere, anywhere, except when he said, I need you to take me to New York City. I said, nope, I'm not going to New York. I probably was in my own bed for maybe 3 times in 5 months. It was a grueling schedule all the time. And he couldn't find anybody to drive him to New York. He could drive, mind you, but it just was easier for him and all that he was doing, whatever. So I said, there's just no way. I'm tired. I want to just be home. He called all the people that he knew who could drive for him. Nobody could drive for him. He said, you're just going to have to take me. And I remember driving from Tennessee to New York. We got just outside the city, and I said, I am not driving in the city. You're just going to have to do it. So we got to the church in the Bronx, and he did a young adult retreat for about 5 days. And there I met the most beautiful girl in the world. She's sitting in the front row with a bun. And, you know, make a long story short, the pastor there asked if I would be interested in being his youth pastor. I moved to New York in 1997, almost 30 years now. I've been in different ministry opportunities and so forth, and here we are at Good News Church, New York City, with you guys. I don't know how this stuff works, but I do understand that if I would have, you know, I wanted to go, I went to Bible school, I went to NIAC as well and did all the things that I thought, but I couldn't have made this stuff up. And so many times we try to say, okay, I want to get there, I want to get here, and I have to do A, B, and C to get to D. Do you hear me? Do you understand what I'm saying? I just was giving you my quick testimony, really, of James dealing with this thing of saying, well, today or tomorrow we'll go over there, we'll buy this, we'll do that, we'll make a business, we'll make a profit. He's saying, wait a minute, hold steady. Who's in control of your life? Who are you really saying, God, you're in control of my life? And I may have a desire to become a doctor or a nurse or a scientist or a minister or somebody who works in tech or whatever, whatever, whatever. But ultimately, God, you're in control. And so James is saying this whole thing can become very prideful, can't it? Where we say, I want to go over there. I want to be that guy. I want to be that person who has that degree or has that job. I want that. And I have found out, I became a Christian when I was 5 years old. I've been in this for a long time. And I have found out in my life with the Lord is that His ways are better than mine. Amen? Amen? I want to go from point A to point B and do this and do that. And he's like, wait a minute, I got something better for you. But wait a minute, God. This is my life. And I'm in control. And I want to do what I want to do. Yeah, right. If we are really saying, Lord, you are the Lord of my life, then you really are the Lord of my life in every area of my life. Now, it doesn't mean that the desires that we have are ultimately from God, right? That God built us in a way to understand things or terminologies or things. You know, I hate math. Who loves math? Raise your hand. Thank you. I'm so glad we're all in the same room together. Sedge is, he's lying there. Thank you. But there are people that just love, Mike, you love math? Oh, Lord. We're gonna have a prayer line after for people who love math. Two guys we need to pray for. But I'm not wired that way, right?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But God, I'm glad we're having a great, but God wires us in a way that we have His desires that are simultaneous with ours, and we just need to say, God, You're in control of my life. Even when it comes to, you know, where we go to school or who we marry. Amen. There's a lot of people that just, they just ran to the altar and not even knew who they were marrying. You know, we need to be people who are led by the Holy Spirit, who are led by God. God is not against us making plans, but is one thing for a believer to make plans and another to think himself control or sovereign of his plans. God is in control. God is supreme. God is sovereign. And when we say you are the Lord of our life, that means that we're submitting to his plans, not just on a Sunday morning when we're worshiping and everything's good, but also on Monday when an opportunity might come and we say, well, Lord, is this you or not you? Right? God, I want your plans in my life. The thing that James is also dealing with is that this whole thing of making plans, it becomes in this realm of pride and arrogance. And he says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Your life is a mist. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes. And as a minister, I've availed myself to a local funeral home in the Bronx, and they'll call me when families don't have someone to officiate the funeral. I've done many of them throughout the years, and I never know walking in. I don't know who the deceased is. I don't know who the family is. I just go in and I have my thing that I do, my spiel that I do. But it always, always, always reminds me just how life is such a gift. And then when you see things happening in our world today, then you realize, man, anything could happen at any moment, right? I mean, you know, we think we're immortal, and we really are until our moment is up. And you've seen videos, right, of people that, I mean, inches or centimeters away from death that a truck almost ran, but it wasn't their time yet. And then somebody else, and you just wonder, why did that happen to that person? And yet we understand that life is such a gift. And the gift that we have is to be precious and held special. There's a small book that I read years ago called The Dash, and it is about that dash between your birthday and your death day. And the author talks about that dash that you have, maybe a long dash or a very short dash, but the dash that we have is to live a life full, pleasing to God, honoring Him, taking every gift, every day as a gift from Him. And sometimes we take life for granted, don't we? We take the people around us for granted. We say, ho-hum, it's just another day, just another Monday. You know. But then we realize somebody else might be going through something that you think, thank God, it's not me, right? My sister was born handicapped. She was the firstborn. And she was raised in a body cast. She has no hip bone. She's had surgery after surgery. She has to go in every week now, to get blood transfusions. Her blood doesn't create hemoglobin enough, nor platelets. And her platelet count, yours should be around in the hundreds, 20 to 30,000, right, Mike? you're the doctor here, I'm picking on you, but should be high. Hers are actually in the single digits. And it's very, very bad. And so they have to go every week just to get blood. And it's a real dire situation. And I think, you know, I talked to her and talked to my mom and about her, and I just said, thank God that I don't have to go to the hospital every week just to get blood. You know, you think about the things that other people are going through, and think, man, my troubles are absolutely nothing in comparison to someone else's. And yet we think that our problems are so major. We've majored on the minors, and we've minored on the majors, and we live life like ho-hum, and oh, I got to get through another day. And James is saying, but be reminded today that life is precious. It's just a breath away, and it's gone. What are we doing with our lives? How are we glorifying God with our lives every day? The Bible says that in everything that we do ought to be to His glorification, to glorify God at work. Glorify God making your coffee in the morning, says. Glorify God at every moment of every day. Just being mindful. God, you've given me this day. Let me use it to the best of my ability. Help me not to ho-hum it, but to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. And so James is saying, be careful how you plan, even though planning is good, it's orderly, but have balance in life. We were even talking about this on Thursday night, just the balance of life. Finding balance, finding a rhythm of being obedient with God and doing what He's asked you to do, living life to the fullest, glorifying Him, you know, curtailing our complaining as much as we can, and saying, God, you've given me the gift of today. Help me to live it for you. Amen? Amen. And James is saying all this that is so key because, as we've said, that James is really the Proverbs of the New Testament, and how important it is that we need to find balance in serving God and being obedient with Him, not being too dogmatic about the plans that we make, but saying, God, if this is your will, and that's what James gets into, because he says that life is a gift, like a vapor, it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live, we'll do this, we'll go over here, if God wills it. And I've met some Christians that use this to the fullest extent. And I think it gets a little out of balance when people are so like, well, I know a lady who will actually pray. Now, I didn't say this is her, but she's a good example that she will actually pray and ask the Lord what she should wear that day. No doubt. I work with her every Tuesday. She comes and volunteers with me at the Prodigal Center, and she prays and she asks the Lord what she should wear every day. Now, if that's her relationship with God, I'm not going to judge that. In fact, sometimes she says some things that are like, man, I kind of wish I had that with God. She's tight with Him, you know, like, wow, she's really in there with Him. She's in the Holy of Holies every, you know, like, wow, I just throw something on. But, you know, there's something about her really willing to say, Lord, what do you want? And then when I listen to her and I think, well, that's really her heart to just say, God, what do you want today? Wouldn't it be amazing if we, especially in the new year, start to pivot our lives a little bit more and just maybe not a full three-hour prayer service, but we just have that in our mind, Lord, what would you like today? It may not be so specific of saying, should I wear the plaid or the black? But also saying, Lord, what do you want me to say today? Where should I go today? Lord, what would you have me to do today? I think that in our way of reading this, James is saying, what we ought to say is, if the Lord wills. If God really wants me to have that job, He'll open the door. Amen? I don't have to push my way into that. You know, if God really wants me to do this, He'll make a way. An old pastor of mine always said, when making a major purchase, how impulsive we can be. And I'm very impulsive. Anybody else impulsive? Thank you. Just very like, let's go. I've gotten in trouble many times for being impulsive. Don't look at my wife. Don't look at her. Do not look at her. But I've been too impulsive many times. One thing that he said when you're making a major purchase is wait 2 weeks. Whew, that's a hard one, right? If that car or that thing is still there after 2 weeks, then he said maybe then you could go do it. Food for thought, right? Because oftentimes we just want to get it done, especially living where we live. Man, if you don't, you'll lose it, you'll miss it. But sometimes we need to just say, Lord, if you want me to have that, if you want me to have that career, or if you want me to go to that school, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you. Doesn't Scripture say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? They shall walk and not grow weary. They will run and not faint. You know, if we would just learn to get in the rhythm of God and say, Lord, what do you want? Have your way. You're in control. You're sovereign. You got better plans for me than I ever could have. God, would you just do what you want to do? So that brings me to the third point of you know, plans and pride and God, because as I said earlier, that James is the Proverbs, and I found Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 9. Maybe find that on your phone or whatever you're looking at Scripture and just read along with me. It says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Did you hear that? The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. For the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. What a great reminder of just saying, God, you're in control. Other scriptures even says that God laughs at man's plans because he is sovereign. We could be busy bees all day long and God could just put a screeching halt and say, but I want you to go in this direction instead. Are we allowing God to really be control of every moment of every day? Maybe not so specific that we're asking him what we ought to wear, but we need to be reminded, Lord, where would you have me go? Is that the right open door you have for me? Is that the relationship you want me to be in? Is that where I should live? Is that what you have for me? Lord, let your will be done. In closing, I've found that even though I've planned my life and I've done things in a way, but I've also understood that things will just come my way that I wasn't even planning for. Some of you have been to our home and just 2 years ago now, right? Not even. We knew it was the same pastor who invited me to be the youth pastor at the church in the Bronx, and he was retiring, and they asked if we'd be interested in taking the church. And we went out to lunch with them, and he said, well, you know, maybe you could put your name in to be the pastor and so forth. And then the pastor's wife said, and you could buy our house. And I thought, you're crazy. And then you're really crazy, you know, because it was like, what? And I thought, you know, we had a little in savings. And I thought, you know, I don't know how this could happen. And then all of a sudden, the ball started rolling that we got pre-approved and this and that happened. And then all of a sudden, we bought the house. It was unbelievable. It still is unbelievable. We still have moments like, did this just happen? Have you ever had an experience with God that there's no other way that you thought something could happen and then all of a sudden it was just dropped in your lap? Because Scripture tells us that blessings go after the righteous. And that God's favor resides on those who say, Lord, you're in control. See, I believe that God wants to bless us more than we ever thought he would or he could, or maybe even he should. Sometimes I think, man, I don't deserve this. But then I realize I don't deserve anything. I just serve a good God who loves me so much. And he says, you know, just out of the blue, I want to give you something that you weren't even asking me for. See, that's how good God is. That you could plan and prod and do this and do that, and then all of a sudden he'll just say, hey, I want to just bless you. I just want to do something for you that was totally out of the blue. You like that? Out of the blue? Because it's out of the heavens. That he just, you saw what I did, Peter? That was good, right? Just out of the blue. He just blesses you and says, because you're my kid. Don't you like doing that for your kids? They weren't asking for it. It was the greatest thing when our kids was little. I remember, maybe she was asking for it, I don't remember. But there was the Dora the Explorer house that Emma wanted. And was she asking for it? I don't remember. But I saw it on sale, this is really dating us, at Toys R Us. Remember that store, Toys R Us? And I called a bell, I said, they have the Dora the Explorer house for Emma. Let's get it for her for Christmas. Time after time, we've done things for our kids. But they never asked for it. But it was just because they're my kids. They're our kids that we just want to bless them. We just want to do something for them that would just make them so happy they'd cry. I mean, one year, Levi had asked for an electric guitar. He thought maybe we couldn't afford it or something, and we just brought it out to him. The tears that just came streaming down his face. See, that's how God operates. That's how God blesses his people. That if we just say, Lord, let your will be, I just want to follow you. Lord, let your plans be the way that I have my steps ordered of you. God, what do you want today? And then we find that his blessings and his favor just fall like rain. Deuteronomy 28 says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall the fruit of your womb be, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your herds, and your, I mean, these are all farmer talk, but it's all good, because blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. All because we said, Lord, whatever you want, let your will be done. As a reminder, let's take these verses and meditate on it this week and think through it and say, Lord, I just want your will in my life. For James closes this by saying, so whoever knows the right thing to do it and fails, to him it's sin. Now let's follow after God. Amen.